Poorly read.
Hello.
Sorry, I went to say hello and then fucking noisy outside person started being noisy.
Oh, God, let's just genocide everyone.
Shall we?
No, guys, don't do that. It's never a positive.
There'd be no one left to listen to our podcast.
Oh, fuck.
Depends who we genocide, I suppose.
Yeah.
Have we looked at the analytics? What's our demographic like?
Yeah, whichever place listens to us the least, they're going to get it first.
Yeah. Luxembourg. Hello, welcome to this week's episode of Poorly Read. This is episode 11, or rather episode 5 of the Chamber of Secrets, whichever way around you want to think of it.
I prefer the first way, but, you know, whatever floats your boat.
So episode 11.
Yeah.
Just straight up episode 11. You can keep track of the chapters yourself.
Yeah, bitch. Yeah. So what chapters are we doing today?
We're doing 13, 14 and 15.
Ooh, two odd numbers there.
As there are every other week.
I have a real thing about odd numbers. I really love odd numbers.
Yeah.
When I was younger, if like two buses came along at once and went to the same place, I would get on the one that had the odd numbers in it.
Huh.
Yeah, I don't know why. I think it all stems from my love of the Spice Girls, and there's five of them. So I was like, so odd numbers are good then. Yeah.
I like prime numbers.
Those numbers that are divisible by themselves, right?
Themselves only.
It's like one.
One and themselves.
Seven.
Yeah. Two also. The only odd prime, even prime number.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Because every other even number is divisible by two.
Wow.
Yeah.
See, fucking no student at Hogwarts knows that, do they?
So we start with chapter 13, prime number. It's called The Very Secret Diary.
I mean, I feel like it could be a better chapter title. It could have just been The Secret Diary and been very impactful. Because they don't refer to it as The Very Secret Diary at any point.
No, I suppose they don't. But then I thought, aren't all diaries sort of inherently secret?
Yeah. She should have just called it The Diary. Just fucking, just give me the pen and I'll write this.
Give me the pen and a time machine.
Yeah, the time turner, please. Yeah. I'll go back and I'll fucking save Harry's parents. Maybe if I just go back to when Voldemort's mum first got pregnant to give her a punch in the stomach. Oh, solve everyone's problem, right? But then Dumbledore would have had no reasons to carry on living.
Well,
maybe that would have been better for everyone as well.
Maybe.
Yeah.
But I'm sure, what if no... You would get to a certain age and be like, I really feel like a Dark Lord should have come into existence by now.
Well, yeah.
As well kill myself.
Yeah, I feel like Dumbledore would think exactly that. It'd be like, I've defeated Grindelwald, that gave me so much purpose. What have I got now? If I don't kill dark wizards, I have to kill good ones.
I've already killed my sister.
Oh, no!
Aberforth?
Maybe Dumbledore would become Voldemort in a way, you know?
It's a less impactful evil name, though, isn't it?
What, Dumbledore?
Yeah, Lord Dumbledore.
Should we, like, anagram it? Albus, Rufius, Brian, Wolfric, Dumbledore, whatever his name is.
Percival's in there, isn't
it? That's it, yeah. It's like Albus, Percival, Wolfric, Brian, Dumbledore.
All right, go on then, anagram that.
Fucking hell, I don't know. I am Mr. Blobby. I mean, let's just not go back in time. It will solve all our problems.
Oh, should we not?
Yeah. Right, so more importantly, Hermione's in the hospital wing.
For several weeks.
Fuck it, see? Madame Pomfrey, yeah. She could have cured this like with a fucking swish and a flick. But she's like, no, she keeps fucking feeding her Polyjuice potion with like different cats in it. I've always wanted a Siamese. Oh, God. Hermione keeps on wondering why she wakes up sore. So Harry and Ron go see her every night.
Yeah.
And bring her that day's homework.
Yeah.
And quite rightly, Ron's like, why are you fucking doing homework? And Hermione's like, well, I can't, like, fall behind.
Which I kind of get. I mean, I think my kid self would be like, well, great. Fuck this then.
Yeah.
I'll just chill. But now I think I would be like, well, I want to keep learning. God. Because it's not like she's like, you know, in pain or like ill.
No, but she would have been let off for doing the homework and she still would have done fine in her final year exams.
Yeah, but fine is not good enough for Hermione.
No, she still would have excelled.
Yeah.
She still would have got an outstanding or whatever they fucking grade those papers as.
I guess. No, it's just not very Hermione to be like, well, fucking...
She needs a purpose, didn't she, really?
Well, yeah.
She ain't got any other friends to come visit her. She's like, well, this homework will keep me busy until the next time the boys come around.
Yeah.
Alas. And they see a pile of Get Well Soon cards and there's this massive fucking... Gaudy Gold one. Gaudy Gold would be quite a cool name, wouldn't it?
Gaudy Gold.
Yeah. I really like that. Yeah. Gaudy Gold. Yeah.
You'd have to, it'd be like, you know, very, just lots of makeup and big, loud
probably like a Liberace
and...
kind of.
Yeah.
Or not, because, you know, like the rapper, the grime artist, I mean, grime before it is grime, I guess, Goldie.
No, but continue.
You don't, Goldie's like fucking London legend. Goldie, if you're listening to this, mate, enough respect. Anyway, there's the fucking the Gaudy Gold card from Lockhart wishing her like a get well soon thing.
Yeah.
That's creepy that he's sending her that.
No, it's not.
Yes,
it's
it is. They're not especially like... chummy or anything. It's not like your favorite teacher sends you a get well card because you spent like a lot of time interacting or whatever. They haven't.
Well, she's expressed an interest in him,
so he's expressing an interest in her, I guess. Alright,
I don't know if they're in a boarding school and one of your students is in a hospital is in hospital for several weeks, I'd probably send him a card.
I would send him a class card.
Yeah,
or like a teacher wide card signed by everyone but Snape, I guess, right?
Yeah.
He just sends her his own one. I'm glad this has happened to you. Every fail for you is a win for me. Yeah.
10 points from Gryffindor.
And it only happens when she reads that, like, yeah, that line in the card. Oh, shit, son. So, yeah, they leave, and then another flood is happening from the bathroom, which
we can hear Filch whinging about.
That's it,
lots
yeah
of water on the floor. And again, I mean, I know we've done this to death, but why does Filch have that job? All right. Moving on.
I think he just loves the struggle.
He does. Yeah. He's a fucking masochist.
He really is. He fucking loves the pain. I don't know why, but as I thought that about him, all I got in my mind is just like a tray of Turkish delight. And I don't know why.
That is weird.
I know, right?
My mind jumped to, he says he still, they used to hang students by their thumbs in the dungeons. Yeah. He says, I still got the chains in my office. I imagined him stringing himself up with that.
Oh, yeah. Instead of putting a thumb in them, he puts each testicle, right?
Yeah, it makes Mrs. Norris watch.
She's the one fucking pulling the lever. She's like... Ew. Oh, him and that cat.
Well, not like... anymore.
Oh, yeah, she's fucking petrified.
Yeah.
That's probably why he's extra shitty.
Yeah.
I mean, he's definitely why he's extra shitty. Oh, he should have got another cat. He should have fucking befriended Hermione. I bet he would have loved... He's the one fucking keeping her in the hospital wing, I bet. He goes out there every fucking night.
Well, we know Madame Pomfrey's got easy access to more cat hairs.
Yeah. He's like slipping her.
Wait, is Mrs. Norris in the hospital wing?
I mean, maybe they've got like a pet ward.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's enough fucking students with pets. They must get ill.
Yeah, they go to the Care of Magical Creatures person, I guess.
Yeah.
We don't know who that is at this moment.
Grubbly
no,
Plank?
No, we do. No, Grubbly Plank's the replacement. There's the other one who they do mention. They're like, so-and-so has gone... a way to spend more time with their remaining limbs. Now Hagrid's going to be your teacher. I can't remember the name of the person.
Huh.
Damn it. But yeah, so Filch must be like slipping Pomfrey like, I don't know, a galleon. Oh, just let me in there at night.
Keep her furry.
Yeah. He goes in, he's got like a plushy suit on. Like, oh God, he just jumps on top of her. She's like, oh, what are you doing? He's like, it's all right, it's not rape if neither of us really wants it.
I think it still is.
Anyway, the flood.
Yeah.
That's coming from the bathroom.
Flood outside Moaning Myrtle's bathroom that Harry and Ron go and investigate because they fucking have to go and investigate everything.
Yeah, little amateur sleuths.
Yeah, and Myrtle's whinging and being a fucking little bitch as always.
I love that. That is so something that I would say. I'm rubbing off. Yeah, they go in and Myrtle's having a fucking fit and she's like, oh, yeah, so I'm sick of people thinking that I'm like a goal hoop or whatever, you know, 10 points if we can get it through her, no, 5 points if we can get it through her stomach, 10 points if we can get it through her head. And Harry's like, what are you fucking talking about? And she's like, I was just sitting in the U-bend. I was like, what the fuck? The U-bend is like the bit, is like the pipe bit in the toilet, right?
Yeah, how did the book get down there?
Yeah, how the fuck, why would you sit there?
Yeah, I know. It's fucking weird.
Yeah. Oh,
and she's clearly caused a... we discussed this before, but she must have some sort of substance to her to be able to splash water around like that.
That's so true, yeah.
Yeah. I imagined her body mostly in the U-bend and then her head just sort of poking up into the into the main sort of toilet bowl, because otherwise how did a book get down to the U-bend?
Just waiting for a face to sit on me.
Yeah.
It's like, no, we didn't want to know that. She's like, you know, I've got to get my ghost jollies somehow.
Yeah, I mean...
I've got to get my gollies.
Maybe that is what she's into. She just likes to be sat on.
But she would go through them, so she just ends up seeing, like, the inners of their, like, rectum. Ugh.
Well, not if her face is, like, in the toilet bowl looking up.
Oh, that's true.
All that pee and poop.
You'd see the hole, like, open up to release God. The poo. Fucking two myrtles, one cup.
Two ghosts, one cup.
Just her and Nearly Headless Nick. Oh, fucking hell.
And the goblet of fire.
Wow. So, yeah, she says, yeah, I was just here minding my own business sitting in the U-bend when this came so like sailing over the top of the bathrooms and went straight through my head. And it's there's like a diary in the toilet, which is causing the blockage, which made it flood. And I thought that's a bit weird that a toilet blockage would cause that much flooding. Because once you flushed it, that initial water that came over would be what floods at first. It wouldn't fucking spill out into the hallway.
Well, either way, there's lots of water everywhere. There's a wet book about... Harry picks it up and Ron, again, quite sensibly says, well...
Yeah, I put this in.
Yeah, you might want to just be careful before you go picking up a random book that someone's thrown away. Like, some of the stuff my dad's confiscated, like, once discovered a book that you can't never stop reading, so you had to do everything for the rest of your life one-handed with your face buried in a book. And what are the others?
I mean, it was something ghastly. Ghastly. But yeah, and Harry's like, oh, I think it'll be all right. And then Harry says, it's the first instance of Harry pocketed it.
Is it?
Yeah, which Stephen Fry, may he rest in peace, said on Graham Norton, he says that he had immense trouble saying that. And he asked JK if he could say a different word, like Harry put it in his pocket.
Yeah.
And she said no. And so to spite him as like a joke, she then put that phrase in every book from that point onwards. And yeah, he just has real trouble saying that. It took him like forever to get around. And even when he tried to say it on the show, it took him about 3 or 4 goes to get it out.
Oh.
Good old Fry.
Good old JK.
Good old JK. Oh, she has got a sense of humour, although malicious and cruel. So... so they take the diary back to the common room, is it? Or to the hospital?
Harry picks up the diary and you can see the name across the front of it. Mr. T.M. Riddle.
Which in the films, it's across the back, which is weird.
Is it?
Yeah.
At this point, I thought, surely Voldemort's real name would be well documented.
I thought that too.
Because it's not a big secret. People know that he was Tom Riddle who went to Hogwarts at this time and Tom Riddle became...
But do they?
Well, Dumbledore does.
Dumbledore does, definitely. But
Slughorn does.
Hagrid probably does because he went to school with him.
Yeah.
I reckon, like, maybe those people do, but I reckon maybe at large, because he went from by Voldemort. Because don't forget, he went away, and when he started doing all the really awful things, he was already, like, partially disfigured, and he came back as, well, and he was known as Voldemort at that point. So I'm wondering if maybe people, the wider Wizarding World at large... only know him as Lord Voldemort.
Well, maybe, but I just think that unless he went to deliberate effort to stamp out his identity, it would have been published.
No, but I think he did.
Yeah?
Yeah, because think about it, he had already...
Why didn't Dumbledore just say, no, I know who it is?
No, everyone knew who Voldemort was. It wasn't a case of finding him to stop him. It was the fact that no one could find him.
No, but everyone knows his name.
Yeah.
But when they don't... So... Hermione's real book smart. Ron knows about stuff in the wizarding world. Why don't they look at that diary and go, shit, that's Voldemort's name?
Oh, no, I don't. I mean, I reckon it's... after the fall, I reckon Voldemort was kind of in general just not brought up again. A bit like how it's sort of like in Germany, like you can't have like a swastika out anywhere. You can't really refer to
it. No, but people have published books about it.
They have. Only because, but it's like, say if Hitler had gone by a different... The thing you've got to remember as well is that the time this was set, or the find the vibe of the Wizarding World and how fucking old time it is, it isn't as if like information is super freely available all the time.
No, but Hermione's read a lot of history books.
Yeah, but I reckon it's not in history books.
It's got to be. Like the most infamous Dark Lord like in history.
Yeah.
And there's no one, his real name is not published enough to just be common knowledge.
I reckon so. Yeah. I reckon that's why that she doesn't know who that is straight away.
Well,
it is ridiculous, but I reckon it is that case of people just sort of feel like this Voldemort came out of, not like nowhere, but that his origins are not known.
I just can't help but feel, I mean, yeah, that must be it, but I feel like that's a bit of a, you know, crowbar-y fudging to make the story make sense, make sense that they don't know who TM is.
Or maybe the books that Hermione would have read are only sort of concerning his reign, so maybe they just don't refer to his, like, childhood, which would be a bit ridiculous, but maybe the type of books that are written are not necessarily like a biography, but just about that time and that's it kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose, but again, I think all of this is just kind of making sort of tenuous excuse for the fact that
maybe the books that Hermione has read, they're all kind of like Hogwarts related, aren't they? As far as we know, she hasn't got to a point where she's read like lots of other books about other things, because she doesn't say, oh, I read this thing about this random thing. Up to this point in the book, they're all sort of about Hogwarts in general. No, she reads things about, they're all sort of related to Hogwarts, like Hogwarts history of magic, right? They're all sort of that kind of vibe, right?
Yeah.
And I bet they're all books that were published, because Harry's only 11, so Voldemort, the thing of Voldemort was only about 20 years ago when he first started his reign, Light of Terror. So maybe all the books that she's read are before then.
Maybe. Well, either way, Voldemort's real name is not common enough knowledge for them to just know that it is, even though I think it would be. But moving on.
Yeah, so the year is faded, but on the cover. And I thought it was good that she didn't say what the year was. She's like, Harry saw the year that the book was made on the cover and worked out it was 50 years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Tom Ron is like, oh, do you know what? That's the name I saw on the thing in the trophy room, Tom Ivolo Riddle. And that was 50 years ago as well. And then,
well, they go to the trophy room to check it out, I think.
Oh, do they?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, because they do say that the trophy was kind of huddled in the corner amongst all the fucking many other trophies that they definitely don't fucking have. And then they sort of piece together that if he got a trophy for Special Wards of the School and the Chamber of Secrets was opened 50 years ago, they bet that it's because he had something to do with the chamber and like sort of stopping the monster, and that's why he got the thing.
Yeah.
So Harry's like, okay. So that's sort of like on their mind. They go to their classes. Professor Sprout says that the Mandrakes have started having raucous parties.
As soon as they start moving into each other's pots, that's when we know they're mature.
Yeah, and then we can fucking cut them up and stew them.
Yeah.
And I was like, Jesus Christ, that literally must be the most awful fucking slaughter. Because I bet you can't Avada Kedavra them. I bet you've got to cut them up alive.
Yeah.
Those poor mandrakes. But I bet Professor Sprout, she's a bit of like a Trunchbull, isn't she? So I bet she just does it with like fervor. So it's Valentine's Day, and Lockhart has decided to make it like a really special day. So they all go into the Great Hall and it's fucking decked out in pink and shit.
Yeah.
And confetti and little like fucking seraphim like flying everywhere, shooting little bows and stuff. Which does sound like quite sweet, but no.
No. No, I can't fucking stand all of Valentine's Day shit.
He's in like pink robes as well.
Yeah.
I thought, I bet they look like a fucking, like, I don't know, Dame Edna sort of like flouncy feathered kind of shit. Was not appreciative.
Yeah. And he makes a little announcement about his Valentine's Day theme. And he says, if you want to maybe ask Snape to brew you up a love potion. I can just so clearly see the look on Snape's face.
I feel like he would cry as he was making that.
I feel like if anyone asked him to brew a love potion for them, he would just like turn them into a wasp and swat them.
I was thinking, because as he was brewing it as well, it would smell like how Lily smells.
Oh, yeah.
Snape's tears would end up falling in your love potion. That would sour it, I think. It would make it awfully bad.
I mean, any of Snape's bodily fluids, I don't think are going to do well in a concoction that I'm drinking.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe his semen is a good thickener, you know. Ew, this potion is oddly solid.
To chew down my Polyjuice potion to become Snape.
I wonder what his Polyjuice is. It would be black, I bet. It would look like it would look and taste like tar, I feel. What do you think your Polyjuice potion would look like and smell like?
Don't know. Maybe sort of like olive-coloured.
Yes, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think mine would be like black, but like sparkly. And I think it would taste like licorice. Yeah.
I think mine would taste pretty like plain.
Like, I think yours would literally probably taste like olive oil.
Yeah. So at one point during the whole Valentine's Day kerfuffle, Malfoy gets hold of Riddle's diary.
Yeah. It's after the dwarf, right? So Harry gets accosted by this fucking dwarf that sings Harry it's like a candygram, basically, that he gets sent by a secret admirer who turns out to be Ginny.
Yeah.
And it's like, his eyes are as green as a fresh pickled toad. His hair is as black, dark as a black blackboard. I think he's fine. He's really divine. The hero that conquered the Dark Lords. Sang to the tune of Green Leaves. Green Leaves, Green Sleeves. Yeah. which is obviously royalty free. And Harry's like, oh, God, this is awful. Because he tries to run away when the dwarf starts singing, but the dwarf grabs him, pulls him, and, like, sings
yeah,
it.
Yeah, sits on his ankles.
Yeah. So I think Malfoy grabs the diary then.
Yeah. And he clearly doesn't recognise it for what it is.
Which is weird, because I think maybe his dad really did keep it that secret, yeah. You know? And then, so someone, Harry manages, he remembers his spell and goes, Expelliarmus! And then the book flies out of Malfoy's hand and luckily Ron catches it.
Yeah.
And then Percy appears.
Yeah. And there's a bit just before that where Ron brings out his wand as well to point at Malfoy and someone puts his arm down or something. Harry gets there before him or something. And he says, you know, the last thing we need is Ron belting slugs when they're about to go and do whatever it is they're about to go and do. And I sort of thought, what has Ron been doing about his wand up until this point? Has he just not been casting spells?
I get the feeling he's been asked to sort of like sit out. A bit like if you forgot your PE kit.
Yeah, but that's all year and the thing you use to do all magic.
Yeah, do you know what? Fucking Mr. and Mrs. Weasley, instead of fucking off to Egypt, buy your son a new wand.
Yeah.
Like, maybe they don't know. Maybe he didn't write home and tell them because he was so fucking embarrassed about the car.
Yeah, probably not. But I feel like the teachers would have a problem with it because he can't participate
in
the
classes. Yeah, they should have said, look, you really do need a new one. At that point, they could have used the fucking fund they used to buy Harry a new broom.
Yeah.
And got Ron a new wand so he can actually participate in his education.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that is a massive oversight, I feel.
Yeah, I mean, because it's all... I mean, it is relevant. It's relevant story-wise that his wand is broken right at the end.
Yeah.
Because a thing happens with it. But for that to happen, Ron has to have not been able to participate in classes all year.
Maybe that's been his excuse. He'd be like, oh, I can't do the homework. Got broken wand.
Exactly, but the teachers would have called it, would have sorted it somehow.
I feel like Flitwick would be like, no, right then.
Yeah.
I like your character. Yeah. I like the way that you don't do things. Yeah. Yeah, I agree. That is a bit bizarre, isn't it? So Percy comes along and he's like, you know, no magic in the corridor, 5 points from Gryffindor. Oh, that rhymed. And I'm like, Percy, fuck off.
Yeah.
You're such a dog's body. It pains me to know that he got married and had like a happy life. I suppose he does like turn around and be... Like, he does sort of come around to the good side at the very, very end, so allow him. Right, so Harry goes back up to his room after the dwarf encounter, and he decides to try writing in the diary. And he does, and the diary, like, swallows the ink and, like, talks back to him with the writing.
Yeah. And the first thing Harry writes is, my name is Harry Potter.
Like, hello, Harry, my name is Tom.
Yes.
And I was like, Tom? But it wasn't our Tom.
No, it wasn't me.
It was dead Tom. And so they have a little conversation and then, does he say like, what, like, do you know what happened with the Chamber of Secrets or something? Does he ask him about it?
it definitely comes up. I can't remember the exact course of the conversation, but he said, oh, I knew I needed to record my memories in a more lasting form than ink, because there's been some cover-ups at Hogwarts, yes, where some dark stuff's happening. And Harry's like, that's where I am right now. People are being attacked. And he's like, yes, it's the same as it was 50 years ago. I can show you how it all went down, basically.
Yeah, and then Harry gets sucked off.
Yeah.
And then he enters the diary. Fully refreshed.
Yeah, he says, okay, I want you to show me that memory, but just bear with me 1 second.
Ron!
Yeah.
I'm busy. All right, Neville. Yeah. And Tom's like, what is that gagging sound? He's like, Fawkes is dying again?
Yeah.
Oh, God. So, Harry gets pulled inside the diary. And where does he land? He lands in the headmaster's office, but it's not Dumbledore sitting there. It's Armando Thippet.
Dippet. Yeah.
Sorry.
It looks all different. He deduces that it's not Dumbledore's office, and he realizes that he can't be seen or heard because he tries to talk to the man who is there and he can't hear him or anything.
And in the film, it's all sort of like weirdly colored, and I like that. It looks very sort of like ghostly green, this whole scene.
Yeah.
And also, the Tom Riddle in the film is very attractive. I had the biggest crush on him back in the day. And then they changed him for like the film 6 Tom Riddle. So yeah, we see the play out of this memory, and Tom Riddle is asking Armando if he can it sounds like I'm saying like our man do.
Yeah. He's asking Armando.
Don't do that again.
No, okay. So
he's saying, look, can I stay here over the summer holidays because I don't want to go back to the orphanage. And then Armando's like, well, maybe arrangements could have been made for you, but with the recent spate of attacks and that young girl dying, I don't think Hogwarts is going to be safe anymore.
Yeah.
And then Tom was like, well, what if I could stop the attack? What if I found out who was causing the attacks and they stopped? Like, would then this be a possibility? Amanda's like, I don't know, maybe. I might need a bit more persuading if you catch my drift. I don't mean give me a packet of wine gums.
God, this school is so corrupt.
Yeah. Although gums may be involved. And Tom's like, no thanks. I'd rather go back to the orphanage.
Yeah.
At least there I'm abused by much younger people.
Right, so I have a quick question at this point. Later in the book, when the people wake up, do they recall it being a basilisk? Because they saw it, right?
That's a good question, actually.
So all the people who've been petrified 50 years ago, did they not recall it being a basilisk?
I get otherwise the feeling that when you saw it, your petrification was relatively instantaneous. So it might have been that you didn't quite know what you saw.
I mean, it must be. But I just have a feeling that, I don't know, later on in the book when the people wake up, they confirm what happened with the...
Also, we don't know how many attacks happened before Myrtle died. It might have literally been like maybe one or two.
But still, if it was anyone and they were brought around and were able to recall what they'd seen, then we'd know.
Hermione's the only one who sees it in a relatively good like manner. She sees it in a reflection of a mirror.
Yeah.
Whereas the others all saw it through something. So then the sort of first witness account is even more sort of like tarred, because Colin sees it through a camera lens. Justin sees it through a ghost.
Yeah.
So it would be even more unclear what they saw in that moment before they got petrified, you know? So I reckon they might be like, I just remember... No, because Myrtle, even when Myrtle dies, she's just like, I just remember seeing these big yellow eyes. And that's it.
Yeah, I guess so. So they can't remember then.
Yeah, I think so. I think it happens so quick that you don't really get a chance. So yeah, Tom fucking runs out. In the film, he runs into Dumbledore. Does that happen in the book?
Can't remember. In the book, yeah, it does, yeah.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, yeah, because it describes his long auburn hair and beard.
Okay. So yeah, he runs into Dumbledore. They have like a weird interaction. And then he goes and finds a young Hagrid. And And then he bursts in him and he's like, your time's up, Hagrid. Like, this needs to stop. We know it's you or something.
Yeah.
And Hagrid's like, no, I swear it's not him. It's not him. Blah, blah, blah. And then Tom's like, stand back, Hagrid. And Hagrid's like, no, it wasn't him. And then Tom like magics open the wardrobe and in Hagrid's room, and this big fucking thing crawls out, which makes Harry like silently scream. And I was like, this must have been so fucking horrifying for him to scream. And it's like a massive spider, like massive. And it runs out and along the corridor, and then it escapes. But Hagrid, basically, that's the end of the memory, I think, isn't it? And it appears that the monster that has been doing these attacks was Hagrid's animal. So ergo, it was Hagrid's fault.
Yeah.
So Harry's like,
do we know what house Hagrid was in?
I think he was in Hufflepuff, you know?
Yeah?
I think so. Should I quickly look while you talk?
Well, I just wondered, because he seems pretty like he sort of knows Tom Riddle. Because, you know, he addresses them, they address each other.
Well, they're at school together.
And
I think they're in the same year, and there's only, like 20 people in each year?
I guess.
Yes, I don't think that's unusual. Oh, you know, he was in Gryffindor. That seems really obvious, though.
Yeah.
Alas. Harry comes out of the memory, but he comes out of his memory, it all goes black, and then he sort of thuds onto his bed and the diary's on top of him, and then Ron comes up and he's like, he asks him something like, oh, are you ready to go to dinner or something like that, and then Harry's like, Ron, it was Hagrid opened the Chamber of Secrets, and it's like, oh nah, man.
Armando.
That please your like exclamation for bad things. Oh, Armando.
Oh, when something we think something bad has happened to someone we like.
Like,
Armando.
Maybe even not, just like in general, and it's just literally spelt like A-R-M-A-N-D-O. So when something bad, I'm just like, Armando. Instead of just R. Anyway, that's the end of the chapter.
Yep.
And then
bring this on to chapter 14, yes. Cornelius Fudge.
Cornelius Fudge. Oh, I want fudge now. I think I'm just hungry. So they tell Hermione as well, and they're very certain that Hagrid obviously didn't mean to kill anyone.
And they're now in a long stretch of no attacks.
Yeah.
So they think, well, maybe it's not.
Yeah, because they say it's been like 4 months since Justin Finch-Fletchley was petrified.
Yeah.
And so they're sort of like, oh, maybe it's all stopped.
Yeah, so it did require Ginny's, you know, action to actually to get the basilisk out into the castle, yeah.
Yeah. So they sort of go for this thing where they have to pick their... I'm assuming it's their owl subjects, but I don't know if it was just their third year subjects or not. But it must be their owl subjects if they have to pick them, right?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, I actually missed that as well. Oh, well.
Yeah, because
they're picking subjects for next year.
But it seems weird to do owls for 3 years.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, we do GCSEs for 2, right?
Yeah. So, well, they're picking subjects as you do.
Also, a little, to be fair, I don't know if this was before or after, but Harry's on his way back from his Quidditch practices are getting drier and stuff. Harry's on his way back from a Quidditch practice and says he couldn't help but feeling that Gryffindor's chances for the Quidditch Cup had never been better.
But there is no Quidditch Cup.
A Quidditch Cup.
But don't fucking say that like I need to agree.
Well, you do need to agree. It says it in the fucking book.
Yeah, but I reckon, because we, didn't we say last year that the House Cup and the Quidditch Cup were the same thing?
Yeah, because points that Harry scored in a Quidditch match count towards the House Cup. But now he's on his way back from a Quidditch match saying that he felt Gryffindor's chances for the Quidditch Cup had never been better.
So maybe, although the points are the same thing, the cups are different. Because in Book 6, Harry brings the Quidditch Cup into the common room when they win it. And that's when he first makes out with Ginny.
Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe the Quidditch Cup and the House Cup are different things, but the points are the same.
What, so they all just, there's just 2 cups?
Yeah.
But then why does he get one after a Quidditch game?
1.2 cups.
Why does he get given one after a Quidditch game before the end of term then? Because surely some...
Given house, one what?
When he gets given that cup, the Quidditch
what cup?
The one that he takes back to Gryffindor common room to party with.
Yeah, because they win it.
Yeah, they win it directly after a Quidditch game, but that's before the end of term.
Yeah, so their Quidditch point, although they're the same, they still won all the matches they needed to.
Yeah, right? But then if Slytherin get load of house points between then and the end of term,
so I can only imagine that because the Quidditch Cup you win based on your on the actual winning of the games, right? So you just need to get the points to win the games. So you win all the games, right, you go to, yeah, and those points all also go into the House Cup thing, which also include the points you get, obviously.
Well, then there's no mention of who wins the Quidditch Cup in book one.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah, so we don't know who actually won the Quidditch finals.
No.
Huh. That's weird.
Yeah.
Maybe it is Gryffindor that did win it.
Maybe, but didn't Harry miss the last game of the season?
Oh, so maybe they didn't win that game. Okay, yeah, because maybe that's the cup that often resides in McGonagall's office then.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, okay.
I just think it's all a bit hazy, isn't it?
I mean, fucking J.K. Rowling, she doesn't even know what she's doing. Like,
God, I hope she never listens to this.
I hope she does. You know, I want her to fucking roll up here in her chauffeur-driven car, knock on the door, and we'll be like, we've got no snacks to offer you.
You know, the other day I was watching an interview with her and Daniel Radcliffe. It was like a thing where, like,
how was it, like the sit down one? Yeah, they did, yeah.
And I got about 20 minutes in and I had to stop because I started feeling bad about all this shit we'd been talking because I was starting to see her as a human. I was like, I can't let her be humanized in my mind or I won't be able to do this podcast anymore.
It's weird. The sort of version of J.K. Rowling that I fucking trash so much is entirely separate from the real version.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. It's like I've like abstracted all the worst aspects of her writing and personality and formed my own sort of like mini like J.K. Rowling like doll, yeah, out of that. And that's the one I'm being mean to.
All right. Let's be mean to that one.
Yeah.
not the real one.
Would you feel better if we gave her like sort of like a slightly alt name?
J.K. Scowling.
Wow. I can get on board with that.
And yeah. I have been saying Rowling a lot, even though I know it's Rowling.
Oh, you have actually, yeah. Yeah. J.K. Scowling. Scowling.
But Scowling.
Yeah. But are there any like shitty words that rhyme with rolling?
Bowling.
Bowling. J.K. Bowling. Because bowling sounds, that's a good thing.
Drolling.
Drolling. J.K. Drolling. Okay, that's like a filler. I might settle with that one.
Lolling.
J.K. Lolling. Yeah, okay, I'll go with that one.
Because like the lol JK,
yeah,
thing.
Okay, yeah, JK Lowling. I bet we never use that again.
No, I bet we won't.
Anyway, so they're all picking their subjects. Subjects? They're all picking their subjects. And Dean doesn't know what the fuck he wants to do. So he just like literally closes his eyes and just picks things.
Yeah.
Hermione signs up for everything.
Yeah, everything, which is probably, surely there must be a limit to like...
I mean, we literally know that there's not based on next book's events.
Well, yeah, like, but then special arrangements have to be made for her.
Fucking like, special arrangements can't be made for like disabled students at Hogwarts. I don't get why they can be made for Hermione in this instance. Anyway, so...
Well, let's save our outrage for that until the next book.
Fair dues. Yeah, so they go back to the common rooms and then fucking Neville comes down and he's like, Harry, I don't know what happened, mate. They go up to Harry's room and his room, the whole dorm has been trashed.
Yeah.
Harry's chest has been trashed and they look through everything and nothing's missing apart from...
Riddle's diary.
Yeah. And so I thought that's weird that they don't have locks on their dorm doors.
Yeah, because so another Gryffindor...
Anyone can get in. Like, literally anyone.
Well, the boys can get into the girls and the girls can get into the boys.
No, right. So, the girls can get into the boys can't get into the girls.
Really?
Yeah, because if boys try and go up the girls' staircases, it turns into a slide and they slide back down. And it's because the founders naturally assumed that girls were more trustworthy than boys. Yeah.
I mean, I think it's more likely to happen that way around, isn't it?
Yeah.
I wouldn't imagine girls want to go sneaking into boys' dormitories.
At all. And by the age that they, like, would, they're kind of almost leaving school anyway.
Yeah.
So, but yeah.
So they...
What do they do next? I haven't read the books, so tell me.
I mean, the next note I have is Hagrid's hut scene, but something very important happens before that.
Yeah, I can't remember what happens sort of in the very interim, but Harry, they're at breakfast again or something, or at dinner or something. They're eating food. And then they go back into the corridor because of something. And then Harry hears the voices again.
Yeah.
He hears like the crush, kill this time.
Kill dear. This time, yeah.
Blow him away.
Blow and him.
Blow him. Lick his anus. And Harry looks
finger
around the corner.
Bang.
Harry looks around the corner and it's just Dumbledore like whispering into like a whispering into like a tin can that has a string on it. Oh my god. See, Harry hears a voice again, and then he's like, oh, I can hear the thing. And then Hermione's like, oh my god, of course.
Oh yeah, I've just realized something, and I've got to go to the library. Yeah. Runs off. Doesn't tell them what it is she's remembered or anything.
Yeah.
And Harry's like, why does she need to go to the library? And Ron's like, because that's what Hermione does.
Yeah, she needs to sort out her priorities.
If in doubt, go to the library.
Ron, you're so full of fucking good lines in this.
Yeah.
This is the first time I've ever wanted him to be my friend. Okay, oh, that's it, because Harry's going to Quidditch. That's why. Oh, my God, of course. Yes, yeah, so, right. No, they're leaving the Great Hall, getting ready to go to Quidditch, the Quidditch match. Harry hears the voices. Hermione fucks off. They get to the Quidditch match. They're just about to kick off, and then McGonagall appears on her megaphone.
Appears riding a megaphone like a hippity hop.
Yeah. Oh, I got a. There's not a joke, but a funny reference, and I can't. Anyway.
I won't get it, will I?
It's from the. Do you remember that Simpsons episode where they describe. They make like a neighborhood watch militia, and they're trying to get everyone off the streets, and the only megaphone they have is Bart's, like, megaphone, like, Rap Master 3000, and it makes everything you say sound like a rap. So Homer gets it, and then he goes, like, return to your homes and places of businesses. Anyway, so...
Well, no, I don't remember that, but I'm glad you regaled it anyway.
So yeah, McGonagall comes out and literally says that.
Yeah, returns to your homes and places of businesses. Yeah.
Return to your homes and places of businesses.
This match be cancelled.
Oh god. And then she's like, Potter, come with me to the hospital wing or something.
Yeah, and Ron sort of follows, and then expects, like, McGonagall to be like, go away. But then she's like, actually, yeah, Weasley, you come too.
Yeah. And they go to the hospital wing, and fucking Hermione's in there.
Hermione's been petrified.
Yeah. First she was afraid. Now she's petrified.
Yeah, that meme.
And she has a hand in one mirror.
The mirror in one hand?
She has one hand holding a mirror.
There you go.
And the other one is making a peace sign. And then... there's a bit of paper in the other, and they notice this like a bit after they first got there. So Harry sort of like prizes the bit of paper from her hand, and it says pipes. And Harry's like, what the fuck does that mean? Hermione, what does that mean? And he just keeps on
slapping her. Why are you being so cryptic? Fucking taking lessons from Dumbledore, you bitch.
Why won't you say anything? Look, let me open your mouth for you.
It's like, Harry, that's enough. Go on, no, she talks to me.
One's like, bloody hell, Harry.
Fucking hell, Harry.
And Madame Pomfrey just like watching from inside her office. She's like, oh, another one to recruit. See, my point as well was, if the basilisk is so big, how does it get around the pipes? And at this point, I'm literally thinking, why isn't everyone not sent home now?
Yeah.
Like, because she says, like, you know, she says, well, I think that Hogwarts might not be safe anymore. We might have to close the school or something, right?
Yeah.
And I thought, well, that should have been your thought like 20 kids ago. So like, ugh.
But they decide that they need to go and speak to Hagrid, because they think that Hagrid and his monster or whatever has something to do with it. So Harry and Ron head down to Hagrid's hut, and
Before that, they go back to the common room, and Lee Jordan says, do you know, has anyone noticed how the Slytherins are the only ones who haven't been attacked?
Oh yeah.
Why don't they just kick all the Slytherins out? And I was like, do you know what? You've kind of got a fair point. Throughout this entire series, the only decent Slytherin that we meet is Slughorn, and he's not even a student. Every other student is portrayed as being a real prick.
That is true, but yeah, you can't really just go kicking out groups of people because you think some of them are bad.
I mean, why? It works so well in normal society. Yeah. So yeah, they go down to Hagrid's
hut, and Hagrid seems all jumpy and opens the door with a crossbow.
That's a bit much, I feel, especially in fucking Hagrid's hands. Yeah, I feel like he would sneeze and let that thing off.
And I can't really remember what he's expecting.
Yeah, who's he going to use it against?
Yeah, like, does he think someone's going to come and take him away? Well, Dumbledore and Cornelius Fudge fucking turn up. He's not going to shoot either of them, is he?
Yeah, you're right. That's very, very bizarre. Maybe he's expecting whoever's killing the roosters.
Maybe.
Even so, he still shouldn't be shooting anyone.
He's just been answering the door with a crossbow for months.
Do you know, maybe he's done it every single time. It's just the first time she's bothered to mention it.
Yeah, because Harry and Ron don't seem that phased. Yeah. They're just like, oh, hi, Hagrid.
They just, like, gently, like, put their finger on the top and, like, point it down. Like, yeah. Hey, Hagrid. It's like, oh, yeah, it's just you. Like, yeah. So, yeah, they get inside. Hagrid offers them a cup of boiling water without any tea in it and some fruit cake. And I'm thinking, who the fuck does Hagrid keep on baking for?
Yeah, he always has some sort of sweet treats available,
yeah,
doesn't
and
he?
I'm like, you can't even be making these for yourself. Well, maybe he does. I mean, they haven't got any shops nearby that you can just pop in and get a Twix, right? So fruit cake and treacle, I guess.
Yeah.
It's like a 90s garage band.
Fruitcake and treacle.
Yeah. That should be our name.
Well, you're obviously fruitcake.
Yeah, yes, Tom. We all knew who was going to be fruitcake. Jesus.
That means I'm treacle.
Yeah.
All right. I'm yeah. going to war with that.
Oh, God. If anyone wants to make a logo for that, then don't. So yeah, they're having a conversation, and do they ask Hagrid if he was to blame or not? Or do they
bring it up? I don't think they get a chance. I think extra people arrive too soon.
Yeah, Cornelius Fudge.
Lucius Malfoy.
Yeah.
As well. And Dumbledore.
Doesn't Dumbledore arrive a bit after, or is it at the same time?
I can't remember. I feel like two of them arrive and then someone else arrives, but it doesn't matter. All three of them end up there.
Dumbledore arrives with Cornelius and then Lucius comes in a bit later. Yes, yeah. That's exactly it, actually.
Yeah. And so Harry and Ron hide in the invisibility cloak in the corner.
Yeah.
And then Ron whispers, nice bit of exposition for us, otherwise we'd be confused. That's Dad's boss, Cornelius Fudge, the Minister for Magic.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because and then Cornelius is like, Hagrid, I'm very sorry, but we're going to have to take you away. You know, something's got to be done.
Yes. You know? And yeah, yeah, yeah. So yeah, I've got to be seen to be doing something, Dumbledore. Yeah.
And then
Dumbledore swears for Hagrid's innocence.
Yeah, he's like, I want it understood that Hagrid has my complete confidence or whatever, and that him being taken away will do nothing to stop these attacks.
Yeah, and Fudge is basically like, look, I've got to be seen doing something.
Yeah.
I can't be seen to be doing nothing, so I've got to take it.
Prime Minister, I've got to be seen to be doing something. And then there's another knock at the door, and fucking it's... I keep wanting to say Lucky Malfoy. Lucius Malfoy is there.
Yes, and he, yeah, chooses this moment, I guess, in the presence of the Minister for Magic, to say that the governors have all voted that Albus Dumbledore is to be removed from the post of headmaster.
Yeah.
And Lucius says all 12 of us. So Lucius is one of the governors on the governing board for Hogwarts.
Yeah, what is the fucking governing board for Hogwarts?
Well, I don't know, but we had a brief conversation in an earlier episode about what Lucius Malfoy actually does.
Oh, do you think that's his job?
Well, I don't know. Maybe. I mean, maybe it's just
I feel like governor
a...
is more like a title that's only sort of enforced when there's like a special issue to be raised.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, there's 12 of them. They probably have like council meetings and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
So yeah, I don't reckon it's like a daily going to work, have a meeting kind of thing. I reckon it's like an occasional job.
Yeah, I think so.
I reckon maybe he's on the governor's board, maybe he donated money to Hogwarts.
Yeah, probably. I think it must be, yeah, one of those, like, there's the governor's meeting this month or
yes.
whatever. I think Lucius is above a 9-to-5.
Yeah, he's not working 9-to-5.
What a way to make a living.
I appreciate that. So, yeah, Dumbledore's like, it's sort of, also Fudge is like, no, like, no one will be safe if Dumbledore's gone.
Yeah.
Dumbledore's like, fine, if everyone wants me gone. And then Hagrid's like, no, you can't get rid of Dumbledore. There will be killings next.
Yeah.
And Lucius just, you know, he basically shrugs with his words. And then he says, like, what's that wanky? It's like the part B to the wanky shit he said earlier.
I've got the second bit written down. The second bit is help will always be available at Hogwarts to those who ask for it.
That's no, right. The first bit, he says, fine, I will heed your wishes, but I want you to know that I will only ever truly be gone when no one here is loyal to me.
That's it, yeah.
And it's like, fuck right off. Who do you think you are?
And he glances directly at where Harry and Ron are standing.
Right, so this is a massive point of contention, right? Because people brought this up, that how the fuck did he see them underneath them, like, the cloak? And she said, instead of saying, no, he didn't see them, he could just sense that there was maybe, like, someone else in the room. She says...
She?
Yeah, JK Lol. She fucking says that Dumbledore very discreetly cast the hominem revelio spell that Hermione uses to detect if anyone's in Grimmauld Place in book 7 to see if anyone else was in the fucking room, and it detected them too. And that's how we knew. And I was like, that is such a fucking convoluted, like, reason to give. To discreetly...
So does he just do that to every room he walks into then?
Do you know, I bet he fucking does. He needs to see if there's any witnesses, right, before he does things. But I just thought, that's ridiculous and not true. And you know it's not true.
Well, this is it. I had just sort of assumed that Dumbledore has... He's reached such a pinnacle of, like, magical mastery and is such a... Has such command of the craft of magic that he just has certain, like, inert passive abilities to just detect these kinds of things.
That would have made more sense to me.
Which is a little bit vague and ambiguous, and is, I prefer to have like some sort of harder reasoning than that. But I feel like that would have been... I'd have accepted that more, I think.
I would have preferred if he'd seen the boys running... I know, because they were under the invisibility cloak the whole time, weren't they? I would have preferred if maybe he'd heard Hagrid talking to them before he arrived somehow. Or just something. Just there's better fucking reasons. But obviously at this point she didn't know that the cloak was going to be what it was, I think. I don't think she knew it was going to be a hallow at all. I reckon the hallows probably weren't even a thing until much later on in the books.
Maybe not.
Because Moody can see through the cloak as well, and that shouldn't be a thing.
Yeah. Do we ever know? I mean, I'll ask in book 4. So yeah, and then Hagrid's little hint that he shouts as he leaves is, if anyone wanted to find out some stuff, all they'd have to do is follow the spiders. That's all I'm saying.
And someone needs to feed Fang.
Oh yeah, someone needs to feed Fang while I'm away.
Yeah, what if no one else was there and he was being taken away? What would happen to that dog?
I don't know. I mean, is he going to leave a message with either Lucius Malfoy or the Minister for Magic?
Maybe he would have just turned around and just broke its neck. Be like, oh, that's that problem sorted then. If I hang it up, that'll be dinner for at least 6 months. Goes nice with my fruitcake.
Yeah. What?
No, oh, dog. Dog and fruitcake. Fucking hell. Alas. So chapter 15 comes after that. What's that called? Like the spooky forest or something?
It's called Aragog. But I do think going back to Dumbledore's words, help will always be available at Hogwarts to those who ask for it. Do you think that was a little nod back to, I asked you, Harry, if there was anything you wanted to talk to me about? Fucking ask.
I don't reckon it's a nod back. I reckon it was just like, look, if shit happens and you ask for help, it'll come out of somewhere.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. Because I reckon this isn't the first time that some student has might have been in a position where they might need to ask for like a help in like
quick deus ex machina.
What?
It's a sort of writing device where like the characters get into real trouble and you're just like, oh, there's no way out. And then like some miraculous thing happens and saves the day out of nowhere.
What's it called?
Deus ex machina.
Deus ex machina.
Yes. Deus is God. And the machine, something, shit. I can't remember the literal translation, but it means like the hand of God steps in, because that's what they used to do in like the ancient epics. They'd write themselves into a corner, really? And then be like, oh, we can't get out of this. The gods step in and help the heroes save the day.
Oh, wow. Okay. So this podcast is fun as well as educational.
Except I couldn't remember what the actual translation means.
I mean, I doubt anyone listening.
Yeah.
Yeah, so visitors have now been barred from the hospital wing. Madame Pomfrey just needs it day and night now.
Yeah,
she's just like, fucking hell, there's so many kids here. I've never been so excited. It's like, no one's allowed in.
So
they're in potions, and fucking Malfoy says, I put that Malfoy proves how barren his soul is. Because he says something like, oh, what does he say? It's about Hermione. He's like, I wish she died or something. It's something like about that. Because he says to Snape, I think I wish that you could be headmaster. I think that you should. And Snape really fucking loves that. And then he says to Harry, like, I hope that all the mudbloods are finished off or something like that. I hope that I only wish it had been that Hermione girl or something like that. And then Ron fucking is about to go off on one, but then the bell rings. So I think Seamus like wrestles Ron out or gets in between him and Malfoy as they leave so that they don't fight.
Yeah. Remember this?
And then so they see more spiders in the corridor and they notice, it's when they go to Professor Sprout's lesson, I think, they notice all these spiders are fucking heading off into the forest.
Yeah, that's it. That's where I've picked up, like, right. The spiders in the forest thing. I just blacked out for a little bit while reading this chapter.
So yeah, they wait till the night time, then they put on the cloak, and then they start following the spiders.
No, they don't put on the cloak. Oh, well, they put on the cloak.
Yeah.
They get down to, like, Hagrid's hut to get Fang, because they think Fang might be of help. And then they leave the invisibility cloak there, as there would be no need for it in the pitch dark forest. Are you fucking kidding me? There are things in that forest that can see in the dark.
Yes!
You idiots.
There are werewolves, as well as neo-Nazis in that place. Like, you don't want to be caught by either of them.
We all know neo-Nazis can see in the dark.
Yeah! Which, they eat their carrots.
Being in the dark forest in the middle of the night where there's lots of dangerous creatures that can see in the dark but you can't see, it's exactly when you would want to be invisible.
I mean, oh, it just, why would you not, if you don't fucking carry it, it's tight around your waist like a little dress.
Yeah, so you're just like a floating torso.
Oh god,
but that just struck me as so stupid. You've brought the invisibility cloak with you to Hagrid's.
It would have been better for them to feel like they left it at the castle, and then Ron was like, you know, I can't be bothered to go back, I'm sure we'll be fine without it.
Yeah, but well, they wouldn't have been allowed to go down to Hagrid's to like feed Fang.
Oh yeah, so true,
because they need to be escorted everywhere.
Oh, so also when they fucking get into Fang, he's being so loud, they feed him some treacle fudge to glue his mouth together.
Yeah,
that poor dog. So yeah, that happens, and then they head off into the forest. And as they're searching, literally, they get grabbed around the waist by fucking huge fuck-off spiders called acromantulas.
Well, before that, they hear something spooky, like, and they think, oh, something, there's something big over there, and I thought, wouldn't it be great if you could become invisible? but yeah, no, they hear something big over there, and they're all tense and shitting themselves. And their headlights turn on, and it turns out to be the car that they...
Oh, God, I forgot about that.
That they crashed into the Whomping Willow earlier in the book.
Yeah, and they say it all looks a bit wild, like it's gone a bit feral.
Yeah.
Is that going to fucking car go feral? What about it would look, make it look wild?
Just, you know, covered in vines and leaves
it's
and shit.
Covered in muck.
It's all covered in muck.
I guess so, yeah.
Yeah, so that's a bit of a sigh of relief. Like, oh, okay, right. Just the car. Hello, car. God, you've gone a bit wild. Oh, I'm being grabbed around the waist by some big furry things. Yeah. I think it's called an acromantula, whatever you said.
Acromantula.
Acromantula.
Yeah.
Who can speak English.
Oh, can they all speak English or just Aragog?
Well, they say Aragog. That's all they say, to be fair. Yeah. We hear the other ones saying. But, like, I would have thought they would have had their own spider language, like snakes.
I wonder what spiders sound like. Like
clicky. Because they have little clicky
almost like Morse
bangs.
Code, then, I guess.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah, okay, I think they speak in Morse code. I think the spiders are probably the scariest monsters.
Except they say the word Aragog.
And maybe it just sounded like Aragog, and it was just like...
But then Aragog does speak to them in English.
Yeah, because Aragog spent time with good old Hagrid.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean you can...
He probably taught his kids English.
Yeah, probably, but that just because you try and teach an animal to speak humans...
You just read them like Charlotte's Web. What we can learn from this... is that pigs are not our friends. Do you not remember that book?
I know it's about animals on a farmyard.
Can everyone else who laughed when I said that please email in just so I know I'm not alone? Anyway, so yeah, they basically get taken to Aragog's lair, and Aragog's like the biggest spider of them all, and he's got all like, and all his spider eyes have got like cataracts in them, which made me feel sick. Not like that someone has cataracts, but all of fucking Aragog's eyes, like.
I mean, it's a pretty sickening creature to behold, I imagine, anyway.
I think these spiders are probably the scariest thing, I think, in the books. Just because...
Yeah, the basilisk's pretty scary.
I'm not scared of snakes, but I am scared of spiders.
I mean, I would rather not have either in my immediate vicinity, to be honest.
I mean, to be fair, yeah.
But a snake that kills you if you make eye contact with it.
Or a spider that literally sucks you dry.
Well, yeah, but is my idea. At least I can have at least at least I can see where that spider is, and I can look at it so I can know to run away from it.
No, the thing is, a basilisk, you die as soon as you see it, and then it might eat you. A spider literally eats you alive.
Yeah, but see, this is you seem to be largely okay with death as long as it happens pretty quickly.
Yeah,
I'd rather escape from an encounter alive. I feel like I have more chance of doing that if I'm faced with these spiders than with the basilisk.
I don't reckon so. Spiders do have 8 legs.
Yeah, but at least I can see where they are and dodge them and get out of their way. I mean, it might be fucking hard to do, but I've got more chance of being able to do that if I can actually look at the fucking thing.
Maybe if you put on sunglasses, the basilisk doesn't affect you.
Well, he's probably petrifies you.
Oh my god! Yeah, yeah.
Yes, and then, and then doesn't eat you or kill you or anything, and sort of scurries away.
Maybe it. Oh yeah, that's weird as well, isn't it?
Why yeah.
Oh god, this. Maybe it's not. I don't know. Is what I say to that.
I know. And it keeps popping up in ways where people can only see its reflection. Does it now? Does it like 5 times in a row, 4 times in a row or whatever? In
yeah, this you're book? So right.
And then 50 years ago, eventually it does kill someone by looking directly at them. But we know there were attacks before that that led up to the girl being killed. And so it's like, it seems to be a thing. Like
yeah.
Maybe it's got a charm on it or something. Like, because it seems, how often do you see anything in a reflection before you see it in real life?
I mean, a T-Rex.
What?
Oh, that was like the forget it. Just Jesus Christ.
So did I ruin it?
Someone else come do this podcast with me who's seen movies.
What was that a reference to?
Jurassic Park.
Well, I've seen Jurassic Park.
Yeah, things in the mirror are closer than they appear. Oh, fuck me sideways. Okay. Anyway, so the Aragog, basically, he says, look, Hagrid had nothing to do with this. Whatever was doing this, our kind fears the most. We daren't even speak its name, even though Hagrid asked me repeatedly, I just wouldn't. But yeah, Hagrid's a good man. He was a good friend. He looked after me, blah, blah, blah. And then Harry's like, oh, okay, well, that's no real help, but thanks. I guess we're just making our way out now. And Aragog's like, you didn't say the magic words.
Yeah, I get that. Jurassic Park reference?
I get that one!
Is that Jurassic Park still?
Oh, right. See, just then, just undermined any fucking street cred you won by getting it. Anyway, yeah, and then Aragog's like, no, just because I tell my children not to harm Hagrid doesn't mean I can deny them frosh meat.
Yeah.
And then he basically sicks his spiders on the fucking boys.
Yeah.
That is a literal, I would have killed myself in that moment. I'd been like, I'm not dying this way. I'm not going out like this. I would have just stuck my wand in the dirt and threw myself upon it. Just speared myself.
That would not kill you before the spiders get to you.
Do you think you can have had a cadaver yourself?
Interesting.
Huh. What a question.
Yeah.
Yeah, but basically the Ford Anglia shows up right on time. And rescues them, basically.
Yeah, pretty much.
And drives them out of the forest.
Yeah, and when they climb into the car and Harry shouts, get Fang! Which I thought, like, fair play, I had forgotten about that fucker.
Yeah, where is Fang?
He's with them.
Shit, I'm so glad he remembered that. I would have been sad if Fang died.
I mean, they didn't need to bring him at all.
Yeah, it was really reckless of them. Really, he's just trying to rectify his own mistake.
Who, Harry?
Yeah.
Why? In what?
For bringing the dog.
Oh, the mistake of bringing the dog, right. Yeah. By not getting it killed.
Yeah, so they get back out of the woods. And then they get out and Fang, like, hightails it back to Hagrid's cabin. And then one fucking, like, doubled over in, like, just fucking fear and exhaustion. And he's like, I'll never forgive Hagrid.
Yeah, full of the spiders.
Yeah, and then Harry was like, well, I bet he didn't know it'd be that bad. And then he's like, that's exactly Hagrid's problem. He always thinks monsters aren't as bad as they're made out. And I thought, Ron, mate, you fucking hit the nail on the head.
Yeah.
That'd have been your moment to sever all ties with Hagrid forever.
Yeah.
Like,
Yeah, exactly. They've got several legit reasons to be pretty fucked off with Hagrid by this point and to just not want to see him anymore.
And then Harry says, well, at least now we know that Hagrid is innocent.
Yeah, and then Ron gives a little, like, huh, as if breeding Aragog was not exactly Ron's idea of innocent.
So they go back to the dorm and I think they're getting ready for bed or stuff. And then Harry comes to this amazing realization. He's like, Ron, the person who died 50 years ago, they died in a bathroom.
Yeah, which Aragog told them, I think, right?
I don't remember, you know. I guess so. It must have been. I would have thought this earlier.
Yeah.
And then Ron's like, yeah. Then Harry's like, what if she never left?
Yeah.
And it's like, oh my God. Oh,
that whingy bitch.
Yeah, whingy bitch. Please, can we just like re-edit these books and make that her name?
Well, not Moaning Myrtle, yeah, just whingy bitch.
Oh, God. And that
brings us to the end of chapter 15 and the end of this episode of Poorly Read.
Yeah, I what I will say, this is why I love this book. I feel like all the chapters we've read have been so exciting.
Yeah.
And all, like, even from last episode, actually, like, the when Harry stumbled across... No, when they brought Colin Creevy in and when Harry stumbled across Justin Finch-Fletchley. It's so, like, oh, my God. Like, the fact... It's such, like, a whodunit.
Yeah, it this is. Book. And although all the kind of shitty stuff we've been pointing out with our kind of incredulous jaded eyes, that stuff aside, it is really great mystery and plot building.
Yeah.
With slow sort of releases and eureka moments coming out in quite nicely spaced ways.
Yeah, I feel the difference in quality between this book and the first one is you almost, I would say you can't compare them, but almost the way it's written and paced and even just sort of like set out, you can tell that it's just better.
Yeah, and you definitely feel right from the get-go in this book that there's a lot more at stake.
Yeah, for sure.
As soon as the big school mystery starts, you feel like there's a lot at stake.
And,
whereas in the last one, it was just like, what an intriguing little anecdotal mystery that these kids are going to try and solve. And then it turns out that, yeah, it's pretty dark and there's an evil lord trying to regain power. But
yeah, there's not sort of, I feel like because all these sort of petrifications are happening like intermittently, like things are getting more and more serious. And so, like you said, like, yeah, like the stakes, I feel like the stakes build in a really nicely paced way. And I sort of, I just love that how the mystery unfolds.
Yeah.
And I love that the realizations they come to aren't, because the realizations in book one are kind of, they come out of nowhere a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas in this book, I feel like they sort of come out of quite good, like, deductions.
And exactly.
They don't happen straight away. They happen after they've been pondering the new knowledge they've acquired a little bit. They're like, oh my God.
Well, yeah, but like, only a little, once they've sort of reached a calm place and settled down and had a moment to think about it. Whereas, like mentioned in towards the end of the episodes about book one, Harry has a sudden eureka moment that, like you say, just kind of comes out of nowhere. And on the day that he just happens to have that eureka moment is the day when it's like crunch time. Whereas this eureka moment about, oh God, it's Moaning Myrtle, comes because he gets that new piece of information from a clue that they've which is what I wish we'd had from the eureka moment in the first book.
But yeah, like, even as we're getting to the end of each chapter, it's like I still feel the same, because like the way last episode ended and this episode, the like cliffhangers that they're ending on is quite like, oh my God, I still feel that same excitement, because they're very good cliffhangers and it's like you can't wait to read the next chapter.
Yeah,
you know?
But it's not a cliffhanger in that kind of annoying sense where it's just left with a mystery.
Yeah,
it's like it's the good, in my opinion, is the good kind of cliffhanger, which is a mystery that's just been solved.
Yes,
and you're left to ponder on what the ramifications of that conclusion are.
Yeah,
and you know that they're going to explore that in the next chapter.
I sort of love how this book is. It's just quite. It's like a thriller. Like you're just trying to find out if everyone who was getting petrified had actually died. It is like, it is a proper like Agatha Christie whodunit kind of thing. You're trying to find out who the killer is.
Yeah.
And it's just, this is why I love this book so much. It's like it's just like a crime fiction novel.
Yeah, it is. And I am starting to get that nostalgic childhood love of Harry Potter that I had much more going through this book than I did with the first one.
Massively, Yeah, I just think all the reasons why this book is my favourite, I haven't changed my mind about any of them. It's still the reasons why it's my favourite.
Yeah.
And I think, and it's like I said, they do the least amount of stupid shit in this book. Like, there's not many things that the actual kids do that was a stupid decision. Actually, a lot of it is sort of quite sensible, or the only option they had to them.
I suppose if you just accept as default that these kids are going to chase the answer to this mystery.
Yeah.
Because frankly, if I was at that school, I'd probably be sitting there going, I hope I don't get petrified, and I hope the people in charge find out who's doing it soon.
I bet other Gryffindors are sort of curious as well. I think these kids, I think they're buoyed by the fact that they solved the Philosopher's Stone thing.
Yeah.
So I think there's that little sort of bit of like, we can do anything kind of
thing. And also, I suppose, I mean, Harry can hear those voices that no one else can hear. So that's something that's driving him to try and find the answer that might not be driving others.
I think Hermione knows that she might be next kind of thing. So she wants to get to the bottom of this mystery ASAP. Ron's just along for the ride. He's only one of the trio that I haven't thought at yet, which is nice. But I have I've had that general reaction a lot less this entire book
than the first book.
Yeah, so that is a definite, you know, like marked improvement. So yeah, feeling good about this book. I actually can't wait to record the next episode because I believe it will be, is it the final chapters next episode?
Yeah, I think so. And there's 18 chapters to this book.
Okay, so yeah, so it'll be like 16, 17 and 18, I guess. Yeah. Fucking hell. Well, exciting times ahead, guys. exciting times ahead, guys. Hope that you continue to join us on this magical journey through magical books, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. As per usual, please reach out to us, only if you have good things to say, on Instagram at PaulieRedPod. Reach out to us on Twitter at the same. I suppose I should just say it again, at PaulieRedPod.
Yeah, it's not at the same.
Oh, God, can you imagine if everyone was like, look, I tweeted at the same and all I got back was, hey, and welcome to our clan. Like, oh, shit, okay, I guess I'm the grand wizard now. Or email us at PaulieRed@gmail.com. So very much looking forward to next week, which is the final episode of Book 2, The Chamber of Secrets. So yeah, I've been Gifton.
And I've been Tom.
And Hagrid's been Hagrid.